this morning to the book of Habakkuk. Back to the book of Habakkuk today. Maybe by the time we get done with this series, everybody will know where Habakkuk is. And then again, maybe not. We finished up chapter 1 last week, and basically, just to kind of summarize what Habakkuk said in response to what God had said, you remember he started by, he kind of had a prayer, a complaint, a question to God. How could God allow so much wickedness to go on in his nation? And God said, I'm not going to allow it to go on. I'm going to do something you're not going to believe. I'm going to send the Chaldeans, that fierce and wicked nation, is going to come and bring judgment on Judah. And then that just kind of made it worse for Habakkuk. He says, God, I know that you're the eternal God. I know you are the Holy One. I know we're not going to die. I know you're going to preserve your people. But I don't understand how you can look on them and allow them to treat others like they're less than human. I don't know how you can use a nation that's more like we're bad, but how can you use somebody even worse than we are to bring judgment on us? And so he was still perplexed. And I just want to focus in this morning on chapter 2 and verse 1. If you're able, let's stand together as we read the word of God together this morning. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Let's pray together. Father, as we consider Habakkuk again this morning, as we try to learn how to find revival in the midst of trouble, I pray that you would help us to learn from the word of God, from the example of Habakkuk, Lord. I pray that you'll give us faith. I pray that you'll give us strength and grace. Lord, I thank you for all who have gathered here today, for all who are joining us online, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in every life. Lord, if there's someone hearing this message this morning who's never been born again, I pray today you would convict their heart in an overwhelming way, that they understand that they are in danger of judgment forever, and that you love them so much that Christ died for them, that today they can repent of their sin and unbelief. Today they could pray, they could call on your holy name and trust in Jesus and receive forgiveness of sin and life everlasting. We pray for the lost to be saved today. Pray for the saved to be fully surrendered to your will. And Lord, help us in the midst of these years of trouble that we would find revival in our hearts, revival in our families, revival in this church, and that we would see an awakening in our nation that would spread around the world. Please help, Lord. We need you. We pray for your forgiveness. We pray for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Last week we saw the vital importance as we seek revival in the midst of trouble that we would remember who God is. You remember back there in chapter 1 and verse 12, Habakkuk says, Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. O my almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. Habakkuk says, God, I'm going to remember who you are. I don't understand what's going on. I still have a lot of questions, but I'm just going to remember who God is. And we look at our world around us today. We see the continual movement away from the things of God. We see the degradation of our society. We see wickedness being exalted in our nation. We see truth turned away backwards. Righteousness has fallen down in the streets. We see a lot of big problems in our society today. We see a lot of big problems in churches today. We struggle with sin in our own lives, if we're honest. And when we look at all that trouble, the first thing we need to do is remember who God is. Listen, God hasn't gone on vacation. God hasn't gone to sleep. God knows exactly what's going on. And though we may not understand his methods, we may not understand his timing, we know that he is the eternal, holy God, and we can trust in him. Trust in him. Now, remembering who God is didn't mean that Habakkuk was done with his questions. It didn't mean that he still didn't wrestle with some things. And maybe you find yourself there today. You can remember who God is, but you still are a little bit confused about what's going on. You still don't understand how the wicked could seem to be exalted. You don't understand how how unrighteous people could seem to be doing so well. It just doesn't make sense to you. And that's kind of where we find Habakkuk. And then he says here in chapter 2 and verse 1, I will stand upon my watch, set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me. Basically, today I want to tell you that we need to watch and wait on the Lord. There are some things in life worth waiting for. Just think there's some things in life worth waiting for. Kind of goes counter to our nature. Kind of goes counter to our culture. We're more of an immediate gratification kind of people. Right? Yeah. I mean, listen, when you want that large Coke and fries from McDonald's, you don't want to have to wait more than 30 seconds. No? Sweet tea then? Brown sugar water is what they have at McDonald's, and it's good. Amen. Thank you. I knew somebody here had to love some sweet tea. There's some things worth waiting for. I told you before about the little boy at the mall. Any of you have gone up the escalator before? Are those intimidating to anybody? Yeah, sometimes those are intimidating. There was a little boy standing there, and he was by himself. He's just standing there at the escalator watching it come go back around, and the lady said, son, are you lost? And he said, no, I'm waiting for my chewing gum to come back around. That sounds delicious. Yeah, see, there's some things worth waiting for, right? Amen. Some of us aren't very patient people. I'll give you a second to confess. Some of us aren't very patient. I'm a little bit like this guy in some ways. Frank wasn't known for his patience. His wife called him. He was in the middle of a busy day, and she was talking real slow, and she really was kind of beating around the bush. She wasn't getting to the point. And he was getting fed up, and finally he just stopped her. He said, listen, just be brief and be positive. She stopped for a second, and with as much cheer as she could muster, she said, I discovered the airbags in our new BMW work great. Yeah. Sometimes people aren't very patient. We don't like to wait on things, but I'm telling you, there are some things in life worth waiting for. I'm amazed at people who have put a lot of time and dedication to a lot of things. There was a famed violinist named Fritz Kreisler, and after a concert, a woman rushed up to him, and she said, I'd give my life to play as beautifully as you do. And his response was, I did. I gave my life. He was patient, and he worked, and he dedicated his life to mastering the craft of playing the violin. We see people who excel at things, they're masters at things, because they've been willing to be patient, they've been willing to wait, they've been willing to put in the time. I want to tell you today that we need to learn to wait on the Lord. Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. This idea of standing means to abide. It means to continue. It means to dwell. It has the idea of enduring, remaining, standing fast, standing firm, standing still, to just be where he needed to be. And he declares his faith in who God is. Then he asks his question. He says, I still don't understand. And then he just stops and says, I'm gonna stand right here and I'm going to wait to see what God has to say. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. He says, I'll stand upon my watch. I'll set me upon the tower. This idea of a watch is the idea of being a sentry or a post. We think about our military men and women, and sometimes they have to be on guard, right? They have to pull guard duty. What's that mean? It means that they stand at a perimeter, they stand in a tower, they stand in some defensive position, and what do they have to do? They have to stand there, and they have to watch, and they have to wait. And it's really important that they stay awake, that they stay alert, that they do their job. Throughout history, when we look at military campaigns, when somebody was on guard, when they were supposed to be on post, when they were on watch, if they fell asleep on duty, it could be the death penalty for them. Why? Because everyone's life was dependent on them being diligent. And this is the picture that Habakkuk gives. He said, I'm gonna be on post. I'm going to be on guard. I'm going to stand on watch to wait and see what God has to say for me. I want to wait and see. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 5 through 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. He says, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Listen, there's something going on in the world today. God has a work that he wants us to be doing, and too many Christians for too long have been falling asleep at our post. We've been too long falling asleep on the wall. We've been too long falling asleep on the tower. And Habakkuk says, I'm gonna sit up and I'm gonna stand up and I'm gonna pay attention to what's going on, because God's gonna do a work and I wanna know what God has for me to do. I think a lot of Christians in America have fallen asleep. I think that maybe God has used some things in the past year to wake some people up a little bit. I think COVID's gotten a few people's attention. There are some people that have kind of been just cruising through life, and I've heard testimony about some of our older citizens who have kind of woken up to the things of God and the things of eternity, because they understand that life is fragile. They understand that eternity may be coming sooner than they might have thought, and they've been asleep for a long time, but the reality, the seriousness of this disease has woken some people up. I think the political landscape in our nation's woken some people up too. I think that we've kind of cruised along for a long time and people have kind of grown complacent, but there's some things that have been shifting, some things that have been changing that politically have woken some people up. And I think you ought to be awake politically, by the way. I think you ought to pay attention to what's going on. This is supposed to be a government of the people, for by the people, and for the people. Everybody remember that? And so we have a responsibility as Christians to elect Christian leaders and to be involved in things and to help sway our political system the right way. But I want to tell you something, that is not just about physical health that we need to wake up to, and it's not just about political realities that we need to wake up to, but we need to wake up to spiritual realities today. You understand today that every person in this nation that dies, they pass from this life into eternity, and they pass either into eternal life because they've believed the gospel, or they pass into eternal death because they've never heard the gospel, they've never been saved. You understand today that it's our job to wake up and to pay attention to what's going on in the world today and the work that God's called us to do. We're not of the night. We're of the day. We don't need to be asleep, but we need to watch and we need to be sober. Seems like verses about waking up are always appropriate when I'm preaching. Sometimes I wonder what it would take to wake some people up. Not just literally, but spiritually. What would it take? Do we have to have a tragedy? Do we have to have some major event? Do we have to have a revival meeting scheduled and have an evangelist come in? When is it going to be enough that we look to the Word of God and He says, wake up? And we wake up. When's it going to be enough when we look to the Word of God and He says, stop playing around and start taking this seriously every day? He says, I'm going to stand on my watch. I'm going to set upon the tower. This word set means to place or to station, to continue or to remain. Psalm 27, verse 10. Psalm 27, verses 10 through 14. He says, when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I think so many times, we're always in a hurry. We're always running from the one thing to another. And I think Satan's done a really good job of helping us to feed our flesh and to be distracted all the time. I look at American families today and I wonder what's it really all about. We call it the rat race. We're all in this rat race. And do we even know why? Do we know why we keep ourselves so busy, so distracted? What's the purpose of it all? Now, there's a lot of busyness that's good, and I don't think we should be lazy. I think we should work and do that which is good and provide for our own and do all those good things that God calls us to do. But there's got to be a purpose behind it, doesn't there? I mean, we can't really be so busy and so distracted just so we can have the newest smartphone and keep our cable bill paid. There's got to be more to it than that, doesn't there? It can't just be all about this stuff. It can't. There's got to be some purpose. There's got to be some meaning to it. And we don't like to wait, but I'm telling you that there is a God in heaven and he has a purpose for our lives that he wants us to live out. And there's going to be some time that we're going to have to just continue in the things that we know and do the things that God's called us to do and be faithful. Now, some people hear the word wait and they think that that's just laziness. Like the idea of wait is to just be sitting in your recliner. I want to tell you what G. Campbell Morgan said. Waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means first, activity under command. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. And third, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. Waiting on the Lord means doing what you know God wants you to do right now and being faithful in what he wants you to do right now and not doing anything else until he says so. I think we forget that we're under his command. We forget that he is our master and commander. I think we think that we are the masters of our own destiny, but God says, I want you to set up and I want you to wait on me. I want you to continue. This idea of setting on the tower means to continue or to remain. And we want to continue in the things that God wants us to do. So we get this picture of Habakkuk standing on the tower. This is that siege, that defense fortress. And he says, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait to hear from God. It's interesting to me that he says, I'm going to wait on the tower. But Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. In other words, Habakkuk says, listen, I'm going to wait on the Lord. Literally, I'm going to wait on the Lord while I wait on the Lord. You get that? I'm waiting in Christ. I'm waiting in God. I'm waiting in who he is to hear what he has to say. When we're waiting, it doesn't mean we're being lazy. It doesn't mean we're not doing anything. It means we're abiding in Christ. We're in him doing the things that he calls us to do. Wait on the Lord and listen to his word. He says, I will stand upon my watch, set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me. I'll watch to see what he'll say unto me. This idea of watching has the idea, literally means to lean forward. It has the idea of peering into the distance, to observe, to look up. You guys ever have to do that? To see something a little better, you gotta lean forward a little bit? Huh? It's tricky, I know. I remember teasing my dad years ago because he'd sit down and look at a paper and he'd hold it here and then he'd go. Anybody ever have to do that? Yeah? I'd offer from the other side of the table to hold it for him. You want me to hold that for you? Yeah. Yeah, what does that mean to And then you got to find that sweet spot, right? Yeah. Sometimes we get the idea of looking, if you're trying to see something far away, it's funny because sometimes when you're trying to see something far away, it's hard to make out. You'll actually lean forward because that few inches is going to make a difference. And sometimes it does. It does. That's the picture. Habakkuk says, I'm going to stand here like a guard on the tower. I'm going to stand here. I'm going to be alert. I'm going to be vigilant. I'm going to be dedicated to wait on God. I'm going to be paying attention, and I'm going to watch to see. I'm going to be looking to see what God has to say to me. In other words, he's intent to know what God has to say. He says to see. This see literally means to consider or to discern, to perceive. Listen, to see, when you see the word see in the Bible, it means the idea of understanding something. When somebody tells you something, you go, oh, I see. Oh, man, you guys are hard today. I see, right? It's kind of like when you say amen, right? I see, amen, I understand. That's what he's talking about. Listen, it's not just that Habakkuk wanted to hear noise from God. It's not just that he wanted to know that God was talking to him. It wasn't just that he wanted to know that God had something to say or that God was there. He wanted to understand what God had to say. He wanted to perceive what God had for him. And I just don't understand this, friends. I'm so thankful that you come to church and you listen to the preaching. And I know that, and I pray this every time, that God will bless his word in spite of me. And I genuinely mean that. Like, I want God to get his word, and however he can use me, but I want him to put his word in your hearts. And I know I mess it up sometimes, and I know I say wrong things. I don't do it on purpose. I don't do it on purpose. I just mess up. That's what I do. But God's able to use his word anyway. Listen, I don't understand why people come to church and sit down and listen through a long message like this, and they have no intention of caring about understanding what God has to say to them. I don't get that. I have no idea why you would tune into a live stream to listen to a sermon and have no intention or no concern for understanding the Word of God. Like, what's the point? Habakkuk wasn't sitting there just saying, you know, I just need to give my time a little bit and listen to the sermon, see what God has to say, and then go back about my business. No, Habakkuk wanted to hear from God. He wanted to understand God's word. He wanted to see what God wanted him to see. He wanted to have some perception and some understanding so that he could change who he was by the word of God, so that he could do what God wanted him to do. It wasn't just going through the motions for him. He really wanted to hear from God. I wonder today, do you really want to hear from God? I wonder when you get up and read your Bible in the morning, because you all read your Bible in the morning, right? I wonder when you do that, do you just go through the motions? Are you just trying to check something off the list? As a good Christian, I'm going to read my morning devotions and that's it? Or do you really want to hear from God? The God of heaven, the eternal Holy One, the King of Kings, has a message for you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to give understanding to you. He wants you to know him. And I'm afraid we're just kind of there. Just kind of there. Listen, this isn't a training seminar at work. You know, you could sleep through those. I'm not saying that I ever did, but you can. Listen, this isn't some little thing you just kind of continuing education you got to have on your paperwork. This is the very word of God. And Habakkuk said, I'm gonna stand right here and I'm going to wait for God to speak to me. And when he does, I'm going to be looking and I'm going to understand what God has to say to me. This phrase, what he will say, is one Hebrew word. And the idea is properly means to arrange. It's to command. It's to pronounce or to declare. And God has something to say. 1 Samuel 3:10, you remember the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. you know, he didn't know the voice of God at first, but once he figured out it was the voice of God, he said, God, speak, because I'm listening. That's the heart we need to have, is it not? You remember all through the New Testament, just Matthew alone, Jesus says in Matthew 11, 15, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13, 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13, 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. You have to make a choice when the Word of God is before you, when you're reading it and studying it, when you're listening to it preached or taught. You have to make a decision whether you're going to have ears to hear. Do you want to hear from God? Habakkuk did, and we need to have that heart that says, God, I'm listening. Speak to my heart. Speak to me, because I want to hear what you have to say today. So he's waiting on the Lord. He's listening to his word. And then he's going to respond in faith and obedience. And I say that that's the only way we can respond today. He says, I want to see what he will say and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Habakkuk's expecting to hear from God. And I think it's really interesting what he expects to hear. He expects to hear correction. You know, a lot of people don't like preaching that gives correction or reproof. A lot of people have left churches like ours because they felt like the preaching was too harsh. It didn't make them feel good about themselves. And if you came here today expecting to feel good about yourself, I apologize. I want you to feel good about who God is. I want you to know what a wonderful Savior we have. I want you to know that he wants to change us and make us better. You can feel good about who you can be. But I don't think any of us should approach the Word of God expecting God to just say, you are wonderful. As a matter of fact, there's nothing that you need to change. You're like Mary Poppins. You're practically perfect in every way. You know what's funny is there's probably somebody preaching that right now somewhere. I'm of the opinion that biblically God wants us to be like Jesus. And I'm persuaded that none of us are exactly like Jesus yet. We need to respond in faith. He says, I'm going to see what I'll answer. This word, this phrase, I shall answer. Again, the Hebrew, it means to turn back. Generally, this word, I shall answer, it literally means to retreat. God, I've got some questions. I don't understand what's going on, but I'm going to be quiet and wait and see what you have to say so that I can back up. Isn't that good? Have you ever said some things and later you had to back up? I'll give you a second to confess. Hey, man, it happens to me all the time. Have you ever said, I'll never? I would never. And then later you had to ask for forgiveness for that thing you said you would never do? Yeah? He understood that he had to turn back. Job chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. Job chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. There came a time when Job had a lot of questions. He had a lot of debate with God, but at some point, he just said, I'm just going to shut up now. And it was the best thing that he could do. Habakkuk understood his answer would have to be a retreat. His answer would have to be to turn back because he knew that reproof was coming. He says, when I am reproved, this is chastisement. This is the correction of God. And can I invite you to look to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. He says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." If you look to the Word of God, you're going to find a lot. The first thing you'll find is the way of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It's through the Scriptures that we know how to be saved. "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me," Jesus said. So we look to the Scriptures, we find Jesus, we find the way of eternal life. And friend, listen to me, if you've never been born again, you can have eternal life. You can live forever in heaven with God. Now, if you are a reasonable person, you understand that you've done wrong. We know that we've fallen short of the glory of God. We know we've broken God's commandments. None of us are absolutely perfect. But that's God's standards, is absolute perfection, and we've all come short of the glory of God. That's why God sent Christ to be our Savior. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. The perfect Son of God was willing to give his life on Calvary's cross to pay your sin debt. And when you look in the Scriptures, that's what you're going to find. Salvation by the grace of God through faith in Christ alone. There's no other way to get to God, no other way to get to heaven except through faith in Jesus. When you look in the Scriptures, you'll find the way of salvation. And beyond that, you'll find the way to live life as a saved person. Because after you get saved, you're still going to mess up. What if I sin after I saved? Well, if you sin after you're saved, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The Word of God is going to tell you how to live. It's given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed, and it's profitable for doctrine. God's Word will tell you what is right. The world has its own opinions, but God's Word gives truth. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. Not only does it tell us what's right, it tells us what's not right. It gives us both sides. It's profitable for correction. It tells us how to get right. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. It tells us how to stay right. Friends, we need desperately the Word of God. Habakkuk knew when he listened for God, God was going to reprove him. And when you look in the Word of God, you're going to find reproof. But we need that reproof. We need it. We need to have a love for God and for his Word. Charles Spurgeon said, "I would recommend you either believe God up to the hilt or else not to believe at all. Believe this book of God, every letter of it, or else reject it. There is no logical standing place between the two. Be satisfied with nothing less than a faith that swims in the deeps of divine revelation. A faith that paddles about the edges of the water is poor faith at best. It is little better than dry land faith, and it is not good for much." I'm trying to tell you today that the Word of God is where we're going to find our answers. When we wait on the Lord, we're waiting to hear from his Word. And you ought to believe every letter of this book. And if you don't believe every letter, you might as well not believe any of it. There's no logical place in between the two. You either believe it is the Word of God and you stand by faith on it, or you believe not at all. We have the Word of God more available to us today than we've ever had before. We've got live streams of sermons, video podcasts. We've got audio podcasts. We've got the Bible on our smartphone. How many of you have a Bible app on your phone? See your hands? Yeah, I've got like 5 of them. We have more access to the Word of God than we've ever had before. And I think we neglect it more than we ever have before. Today, I want to challenge you to wait on the Lord. when you are in the midst of trouble and you don't understand, that you would wait to hear from God. Where are you going to hear from God? You're going to hear from God in His Word. And when you don't understand what's going on, when the trouble is more than you can comprehend, that you would remember who God is and you would wait on Him. You would look up to Him by looking into His Word. We're going to get ready for a verse of invitation this morning. And while our musicians are coming, I want to tell you about a man who loved God's Word more than I do. I've told you about William McPherson before. And I want to tell you that I want to have a love for God's Word like he did. William McPherson was the superintendent for a stone quarry, and there was a blast that severely injured him. William McPherson lost both of his hands and his eyesight in the explosion. He was determined to read the Bible. And so he learned how to read Braille with his tongue. Couldn't see anymore, had no hands. So he learned to read Braille with his tongue. They said that he read through the Scriptures, the entire Bible, four times in that manner. He had no hands, he had no eyes, and yet he was dedicated to the Word of God because he loved the Word of God. And we say we're too busy. We can see, we can hear, we can feel. And we are without excuse. We need to get a serious love for the Word of God. We'll never have the power of God without the Word of God. We're never going to have revival unless we're in this book and we're listening to what God has to say. And we respond in faith and obedience. Will you stand with me? We're going to sing one number.
Turn to page 524.
Holy Spirit is convicting your heart this morning. I invite you to come. Respond in faith and obedience. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. You need to repent or confess something. Whatever it is, you just need to ask God to bring revival to your heart. Give you a love for His Word. Whatever it is, you come right now.